Hello, hello. Welcome back or welcome to the Life Without Limits podcast. I'm your host, Yogi Roth, and I'm jacked for today's guest. Before we get to it, I want to remind everybody that this is season three, and season three is all about talking to people who are seeking the best version of themselves and hopefully offering up some tools for all of us to utilize in our daily lives. Season three thus far has been a blast. Previous episode I had was with Dan Rubenstein, and the feedback has been phenomenal. He's got a great community in the sports world, but it really went further than that. I've heard from so many of you regarding how his story impacted you, and I love hearing from you. So continue to please hit me up on all social platforms at Yogi Roth. And if you'd like to leave a comment, rate, review this podcast, you can go to the Apple Podcast Store and just type in Yogi Roth, Life Without Limits, and it'll pop right up. And we love always getting some of those. Also, I was just on a podcast called The Kinda Dating Podcast with Natasha Shandell. Very unique and interesting conversation for me. Never really talked about the things that we discussed. We talked about vulnerability. We talked about depression. And I talked a lot about the sports community, specifically quarterbacks, and how this era is of big time brands as athletes with social media and a following that can be built all the way from now, Pop Warner through high school, college, and then of course when you get to the NFL and how athletes deal with it or struggle dealing with it, and part of my personal experience as well. So check that out. If you're looking for it, just go to yogiroth.com. You can check it out there. So let's get to today's episode. And as a lot of you know, it is the NFL Combine time. So I wanted to bring on a guy named Melvin Gordon. That's right, the running back of the Los Angeles Chargers, former Wisconsin Badger, and all around just really impressive young man. I did this interview a couple months ago with a company called Thuzio, and I want to make sure I give them a big shout out because they allowed us and Melvin allowed us to record the conversation, which I host a lot of these events in Los Angeles. I've had some really fun conversations with celebrities in the sport and entertainment community, and I was sitting there saying, I've done a couple of these. We need to record them and share them because I think they could really impact people, and Melvin's, I think, will impact you in a lot of ways. As an athlete, if you're not familiar with him, he's one of the most electrifying players in the NFL. He began in a small town of Kenosha, Wisconsin, and he found this creative work ethic that I think a lot of us are going to lean into. He didn't have a lot growing up, so him and his dad, they'd walk throughout the community, dig into trash cans, and pull out plastic bottles and utilize those plastic bottles as cones, as he would do agility drills as a dynamic young athlete. I mean, how impressive and committed is that? And then he goes to college at Wisconsin. I talked to one of his head coaches, Gary Anderson, and members of that staff, and they talked about how he was a guy who was in the facility sometimes at 1, 2 in the morning on a weekend night. So we dive into that part of his process, and I think that's a big word, I think, when I describe this podcast, this process, because Melvin shares a lot of how he thinks and how he organizes thoughts and deals with good things, average things, adverse elements. For instance, he was on the practice field when he told his coach that his father was going to prison. He talks about how he went through that, how he's able to reset. Also, even in the football community, there's obviously a lot of talk around the physicality of the game and the potential future of athletes who go through the NFL and take a lot of hits and how you deal with that. He talks about that very candidly and very openly. So I want to thank Melvin for his vulnerability. Of course, thank Thuzio for allowing us to share this conversation. Of course, thank you for diving in. I think this is a really insightful conversation around the sport of football and his journey amid a really unique time with the NFL Combine when all of the top collegiate athletes, or at least presumably the top athletes, go to Indianapolis to drop in and talk about their craft, showcase their skill set, and really be tested by all 32 GMs, head coaches, position coaches in high-stress environments. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to sit on this podcast for a while, but this is the perfect time to release it. So I'm going to get out of the way. This one's really fun because it's a live audience. So the audio is going to be different than some previous podcasts. So we did this event in Hollywood, in Los Angeles, California. This is Melvin Gordon on the Life Without Limits podcast, where he describes what he's seeking. And I bet a lot of us are going to agree with it. Enjoy.
Tonight's really exciting. I get to host a lot of these events here in Los Angeles. They're really fun. They're insightful. But what I like most about them is that I think they're challenging. I think they're really challenging to you guys in the audience. And Melvin, after learning your story and reading about it, talking to people that know you, some of your former coaches, Your journey, I think, is going to stoke this audience in a lot of ways. I think you'll walk out of here and you will either recapture your competitive edge or it will get lit up again and you will kick off tomorrow like you're the Dodgers winning 1-0 in the World Series or like Melvin every Sunday. So first and foremost, I want to start there. I want to start with you of when did you know you had this competitive edge and how did it get cultivated?
It started out, playing football in Illinois with my cousins. And, before we got the football pads and stuff, we would play, it was the place in, Wisconsin was called Kenosha Commons. And it was like, cars parked and then it was like garages, like right there. And then we used to play like 707. We used to throw each other into the garages and, on the ground. And my parents was like, okay, like, about time you guys, get some equipment and stuff like that. So, I was kind of, in the middle and, I just always wanted to compete with my cousins and things like that. And, that's kind of just how it went.
So I don't know if this is accurate or not, but I wanted to make sure that I brought up a plastic water bottle. Because I read an article about you that you would literally search with your dad, sometimes in the garbage, and you pull out these plastic water bottles that were empty, and they become your cones. And if anybody watched football players train, cones are big, ladders are big. And I'm curious, and I think it's important to recognize the visual. Is that true? And B, what was that like at a young age to be pushed?
It's definitely true. We would go by, the baseball field, and, we didn't have any cones or anything like that. And I don't think my dad wanted to waste time buying them, so, he just went to the garbage cans, and, I didn't know any better. He would, take the water bottles out or whatever was in there, and, we would just use them as cones, and, he would just go out there and just kind of, just teach me the game, and obviously I was just younger, and, every younger kid is just listening to their pops, whatever, pops don't want to do, he just goes out there and do, and, he just taught me some drills, and it kind of just stuck with me.
When did you know that it was working? Because a lot of parents, I work in college athletics, as was referenced earlier, and I see a lot of parents trying to live vicariously through their kids.
Yeah.
Sometimes it turns out in the dark side, right? We've seen the Todd Marinovich documentary, and for those of you who are Trojan fans or Bruin fans. I'm curious for you, when did it ever click like, oh man, what we're working on when nobody's watching is actually coming to fruition and look out when I get the rock come fall?
Yeah, honestly, when my dad taught me that and I did those drills, I brought it out there, I did those drills for a little bit, and then the next time I went out there on the practice field, the head coach's son, I made him fall. It was like a kick return, and I like took it back, shook him, and put him on skates, and I was like, okay, this might work, and then, from then on, I was just like, okay, this, just put in that little extra work, I seen results, and it kind of just stayed with me.
All right, we appreciate the humility, but a little extra work was the quote you just said. And I talked to his college coach, a guy named Gary Anderson, and he said on Friday nights, when you'd be a college student, your boys would be out, like all of us when we were in college, and you'd be in the facility.
Yeah.
But at 2-3 in the morning, you'd send a Snapchat or a text message to one of your boys being like, hope you're enjoying it, because I'm getting it right now. And you had actual cones, probably. You didn't have water bottles.
Yeah.
But that's not a little bit of work, man. Well, that's commitment to the craft.
Yeah. It's all true, man. And, I could thank Monty for that as well. Just seeing him, his journey, I used to see him jogging late nights and things like that. And, I just kind of, brought it to myself. I always told myself I wanted to be in that same position. But just do a little bit more than what he did. We probably go out. I went out with my friends. I didn't just sit in the house. I went out. Enjoyed myself a little bit. But sometimes I would come in and just jog right after. Just take late night jogs. I stayed on the main street. I just did stuff like that. And me and my buddy Kenzel Doe, we was real competitive with each other. So it was called the Humbucker. They had like a little lawn in front. I just lay out the ladder and, be 1:30, 2 in the morning. I'm just up. I'm like, I might as well do something, get something in and just go out there and do ladders. And, football was just constantly on my mind and just getting better and just wanting to be great was constantly on my mind. So, anytime I had time to get better, that's just what I did.
Did you recognize that was a unique trait?
I definitely did. And it was something I had to learn too as well. You always think, I'm doing enough, but sometimes it's not, and You know, sometimes you need, you know, the right coach to bring it out of you, you know, and I think I had that. And coach, his name is Thomas Hammond, a running back coach. He coaches for the Ravens, now running back. And just with the mindset mentally, you know, just where he put me, I think he's just above, you know, most people. You know, I had that type of person to, you know, to bring that out of me, you know, to bring it out of me. And obviously the results showed.
You would go out, and I got this confirmed by one of your former teammates, that you would go out and you would come home and you referenced go for a little jog, but they said that you go for like a legit workout to quote-unquote clear your conscience. Like, I went and had three beers. No, I got to get a sweat in, so I started tomorrow, and I'm back to where I needed to be or where I finished up the previous day. That's borderline, like... You said it! Obsessive compulsive, but that's also... Any of the Hall of Famers I've been around, or any of the people we've interviewed here, that's greatness, right? I mean, if you think about it in yourself, in your career, in your craft, when do you reset like that? And you're 19 doing that. And I just have to ask where that resonates with you the most, because here you are now, one of a few, you know, 30 plus backs that are existing in the National Football League at the position that is the most physical. But way back in the day, you were doing the work that nobody was really recognizing, late at night, 2 in the morning, running down those safe streets.
Man, I mean, I don't even know where to start with everything, man. It was just in me, bro. I mean, honestly, I just wanted to be in a position where, you know, what kind of drove me is just I wanted to be the best. You know, I felt like I'm from Wisconsin. You know, it's lovely out here. I didn't have all this. It just wasn't like this. The lights, the billboards out there, we never had that. You know, it was really nothing but snow, and that's just what it was, man. And you know, I didn't want to stay there. I've seen a lot of people growing up that had talent, cousins that had talent, that just, you know, just weren't dedicated to anything. You know, whether it was sports, whether it was just school, anything, they just weren't dedicated. So, you know, just like with people that, you know, that aren't dedicated, they stand on one spot. They're stuck there. And I was just like, I don't want to be that guy. You know, I want to be able to provide for my family. And, you know, obviously they made decisions to put me in a better position. I was like, you know, I want to change this. You know, I'm tired of people hurting and I want to make a difference. And, you know, that's what you think about. You know, when you're going out there and you're grinding, you just think about stuff like that, man. And it just always consistently rolled through my mind. And I always felt like I was the underdog. You know, I felt like I never got respect because I was from Wisconsin. So I feel like I always had to prove myself. You know, you hear about these guys from Florida and all these guys that just, you know, they just loving them up. And then you got this young kid from Wisconsin that just nobody knows about, you know. So, you know, that gives you motivation, man. It just stayed with me. It just stayed with me, and you know, just blossomed into, you know, what I am today.
Before we get to where you are today, which is thankfully not having to shovel any snow,
sure,
in Los Angeles, still 3-1. Don't worry, we're good. On that note, you're 19 and you're a redshirt freshman. And the guy who trained you with your water bottles, the guy who motivated you, showed you clips of Barry Sanders and Walter Payton as a child via YouTube, was sentenced to prison.
Yeah.
You, quote, said, "I don't have time to be depressed. I got to keep moving." A lot of us, you know, or the one percenters, the athletes might say that, but it seemed like you lived it. And I'm wondering where that, whether it was angst, frustration, sadness, whatever it was, where did that energy go, and what was that came upon you? You know, what was inside of you when all of a sudden that was revealed to you that your dad would go to prison?
Yeah, it was tough for me. You know, obviously the whole situation just turned into more drive and motivation for me. But you know, it's easy to say, you know, when it happened, I was fine, I was solid, you know, I was tough, you know, just worked through it. But it was hard for me. You know, somebody that, you know, been there most of my life, taught me pretty much everything, was gone. And I remember, I was in practice. We were in training camp, and I just couldn't focus. I couldn't run any plays. And then my coach was like, "Hey, you know, what's wrong with you?" And I was just like, man, they took him. Like, my dad's gone. And I just started tearing up. And, you know, I think, he, you know, he's just like, well, you know, you just finished practice and things like that. And then, you know, after that day, I just was, you know, I just was solid. You know, I just couldn't, you know, my mom was just, you know, she was hurt. And obviously, you know, she felt alone. And, you know, I just, you know, I wanted to be strong for her, honestly. And that's just what it was. You know, I just wanted to give her strength. You know, I, obviously, you know, she's been married to my dad and been with her, been with him since, you know, she was 19 or whatever. And, you know, for her to lose him, you know, it was tough on her. So, you know, I don't want her to see me, you know, upset and down about it, because that's not going to help the situation. So, you know, at that point, you know, you just got to, you know, you got to step up and be a man and be like, okay, well, I'll hold this down and, you know, I'll hold the fort down and, I really got to be in a position now to be able to take care of my mother, you know, especially while, you know, my father's gone.
You became... You became, at the time, the second leading rusher in the history of college football. There's so much work that goes into being an athlete. You know, in the pros, we're going to get to here in a minute. But in college, it's harder than people, I think, even think. Specifically, your position at the university where the running back was such a premium. There's a standard there, as you referenced with Monty Ball, Ron Dayne, a Heisman winner, multiple guys. How did you channel the expectations that you had, the expectations that were in Madison, which were always, and are always, a little ridiculous, as well as what's necessary to perform at your best?
I don't know. You know, the whole thing was tough because obviously, you know, I remember getting recruited and Coach B telling me, you know, you being from Wisconsin, you staying home, you'll have a lot of fans, you'll have a lot of eyes on you. People are going to know you, especially they're going to love you because, you know, this is your home. This is where you're from. And, you know, he was right. And, you know, I just told myself, you know, because, you know, my first day being on campus, people are like, hey, Melvin, you know, what's up? And it's just like, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy that people, you know, people actually know me. And it can be pressure. You know, it's pressure from the media, you know, from the fans, from everyone. It gets, you know, it gets tough. But you have to... You know, you have to be able to separate it. You know, you can't, you gotta just have laser focus, so to speak. And it's just like, you know, you put your hard work in, you get your work in, and it's just like when you get on that field, man, it's just, you know, it's just you and your boys. You know, you're really not worried about the media until after. You just really focused in, you dialed in. And it's crazy though, because people be like, you got 85,000 fans, you don't notice them? And it's just like, no. Like, I really don't. I don't really notice the fans. I put my helmet on, and I'm in my zone, you know? And that's just kind of how you got to treat it with the media, because if you don't, and if you think about the pressure, it'll break you. It'll break you. And, you know, you have some times where, you know, you had your bad games, and obviously my rookie year was another struggle with that. But it's tough. It's tough, man. It can break you. The pressure can break you. But it can either make you or break you, you know, and you just got to say, look, you know, these millions of people are watching me, you know what, I'm going to put on a show for them, you know, rather than saying, you know, I'm going to go out here, I'm a little nervous, you know, cause that's how it was my first game, televised, TV, I was like, you know, my first, you know, play out there, my freshman year, I'm just like, man, my grandma at home, they watching me, ESPN for the first time in my life, it was crazy, you know, but you gotta look over that. You know, you can't think about that stuff. So it's just little things like that, man. You gotta be able to separate it and have that pinpoint laser focus.
I like it. I think that's really applicable to all of us, right? In our jobs, we feel pressures, whether it's a presentation or a meeting or a pitch or whatever it may be. And just, it's easy. You just gotta have laser focus like Melvin Gordon. And that's pretty simple. So when you were playing in the Rose Bowl, did you think like you'd come back to this part of the world? Because it was the first time, I believe, you visited Southern California. Did you even think that, man, LA might get one team. Maybe they'll get two teams. Because back in the day, when you were here, we had zero teams.
Yeah. No, I didn't think I'd ever come back here. I was like, you know, my first time out here, I was shocked that, you know, great weather, all that. I was like, man, this is dope. Experienced some things out here that was pretty cool. You know, as a freshman, I was like, okay, I spent, what, 19, 20 years in, you know, Wisconsin and coming out here for the first time. You know, I was like, it's pretty dope. I've never been to California, so... I never thought about the Chargers, really, you know, especially with LT leaving. I just, you know, I never thought it'd be two teams in L.A. I I didn't think about none of that. I didn't think I'd be playing in California, you know, to be honest. But, I mean, just, you know, so happened to be where I'm at.
I can remember being in New York City for the Heisman Trophy the year you were there. Marcus Mariota won it. And I remember talking to Marcus about you. And he said, man, this guy, he's just got this character about him that's similar to him. You know, he seemed like you guys got along very well. You do a bunch of events together with the Heisman Trophy invitees. And from that moment, you seemed like you were on a different stage. You were known around the country. You know, your 400-yard game plus against Nebraska was nice. Everybody knew you. But really, at that moment, I felt like, this guy, they got a chance to be a star.
Yeah.
When you get drafted to a team like the Chargers, and you reference LT and all the history that comes with that position, coming from a place that had a ton of history at that position, was it seamless, or was it back to being a freshman saying, oh, well, I'm on ESPN, grandma's watching, but now you're in the NFL?
Kind of, but it was like, I know how to handle it now.
Oh, okay.
You know, but it was different, you know, but like I said, you know, I've been in a position before, so you, like I said, you know how to handle it, but, you know, it's fans and stuff a little different in the league, you know. You got fantasy football, you got a whole bunch of stuff that fall into it now, you know, so it was a little different, but, you know, it's all about adjusting.
So how do you deal with that? I'm really fascinated with athletes now because, you know, 10 years ago, or when LT was balling out, like, there was minimal fantasy. There was no Twitter.
Yeah.
There was none of that. Now, you need it for your brand, right? You
yeah.
need it for your business. You need it for your life post-football. But that means you got to deal with it. In real time, you got a mobile phone that vibrates just like everybody else does. Ping, ping, ping. How do you operate when you're a rookie and you're so accustomed to finding the end zone and you just can't get there?
Yeah, it was tough, man. It was tough for me. You know, my second year, I had to, you know, I realized that I had to stop playing fantasy football for one.
Did you at least draft yourself?
Yeah.
Okay, alright, that's like bad, right?
I had to stop playing that. Come in, you know, you're checking your stats, you're checking your own stats, you're putting, you know, you calculating yards, and you're like, okay, I got this many points. You know, so I was like, okay, I just gotta stop playing completely. So I just focus on the game. For real, trying to focus on the game and fantasy is just too much. And then you got another guy you got on your team that's on the opposing team. Maybe if you score, maybe we win.
That's a little locker room talk, okay? Yeah. Fantasy football.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on with that. So I was like, let me just get rid of fantasy completely. You know, and then, you know, it helped me lock in a little better. Honestly, that fantasy can mess you up, though. This is funny, but it's serious, though.
Okay, so you get through that year. Do you go back, and while you're a pro, I'm fascinated with the transition. Right, because what got you to college from decommitting at Iowa, sorry Iowa fans, to going to Wisconsin, to running at midnight, to making sure you feel good if you have one or two beers, to running it off so you feel fine the next day. Do you go and recapture that? Because athletes, right, even all of us in our profession, we're characters of habit probably to a degree. You wake up, you check your email, you check da-da-da-da. For you, when you got the league, did you go back to those habits that got you there? Or is it a totally different game now because you have branding, you have money, you have attention, you have fantasy football, you have a lot going on?
It's different, though. You know, you try to keep your same work ethic, you know, towards the game, but it's just different, though, man, with how you do everything. You know, it's hard because, you know, obviously, you know, instead of playing, 14 games, you know, that was with the Big Ten Championship and with the Pro Bowl, I mean, not the Pro Bowl, but the, you know, with the bowl game, and then, you know, in the league, which you got like 20, 24 or something game like that total with the preseason. I mean, that's like two college seasons almost in one. So, you know, you can't really do that much because you'll burn your body out. So, you know, it's like I was telling you earlier, you know, you have to find a different game plan that works for you, you know. And it was tough. You know, it was tough for me because, you know, I didn't know, you know, what to do. You know, I didn't come in with LT. You know, I didn't come in with a running back that was like my style of a runner that can kind of show me the ropes. I kind of had to figure it out, you know, kind of by myself. Because, you know, playing running back is a physical position. You can't go to a cornerback and be like, well, how do you do this? You know, they don't like to hit. You know, so it's like, your body's not beat up as much as mine. So, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult. So you have to find what works with you, your own formula. Obviously, it has to change from you know, from college, but the way you attack it, you know, when you get with your workouts, things like that, it's the same mentality. And that's why I end up linking with Adrian Peterson, just so I could, you know, I could find a running back with my style that, you know, that knows what that grind feel like. And I can talk to him, and then he can help me work it out and, you know, and how to go about your thing during the season.
Curious what your reset is, because all of us have gotten burned out before, right? Or just on total E, we smash our face into the pillow at night. I'm curious for you, whether it's game 16 out of 20, potentially 24, or another time throughout the year, for such a young athlete, how do you reset and hit pause, and what do you go do to reinvigorate yourself?
You know, what I do is, you know, obviously we get those Tuesdays off, and Mondays you get off if you win. So what I would do is I would just get away from football completely. And when we was in San Diego, me and my buddy Noah, you know, we would just go bowling, you know, all the time. And just, you know, honestly, I just had to do something to get my mind off football. And I would just go in there, and it just, you know, it just kind of just put me back in that little happy place, you know, and just get me away from football a little bit. And obviously, yeah, you people that come up and ask for pictures remind you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, just, you know, that was just what I did. You know, I would go to the beach sometimes, you know, just go chill there, just on my days off, and just get away a little bit. And that just kind of helped, you know, reset me. And then, you know, if you get that 24 hours off or whatever, it's time to just, you know, hop back and get in gear.
You referenced the wear and tear on the body.
Yeah.
I think football is at a unique place right now. I think those that play have to play. They have this insatiable love for the craft like you did growing up in Wisconsin. Are you worried about this game for yourself because of the hits, because of the reality of four straight handoffs at the goal line, right? The reality of short yardage and the physicality, players only getting bigger and stronger, and all the reports that come out around brain trauma and CTE, etc.
You try not to think about it, but you're not, you know, dumb-minded about it. So, you know, you got to try to take care of yourself a little bit when you're out there, but it's just a physical game. And, you know, it's just, you know, the profession we kind of chose. So, you know, when I go out there, I'm not really thinking about, you know, CTE and things like that, even though, you know, I'm very aware. And, you know, obviously the NFL make it, you know, really known to us about it, but it's just the game we play, man. It's just, you know, what you know, God blessed me to do. God blessed me with this ability, and, you know, it's just what I got right now. So hopefully, you know, it's few that came out, and it was fun. You know, I'm hoping I'm one of those guys. I know when I get old, though, man, it's going to be tough for me. You know, but she better take care of me over there.
That's right. It's on you, okay? Yeah, totally.
Tough.
Somebody who took care of you, we referenced earlier, in your dad. And there'd be these stories of you going for these long runs as a Pop Warner football player and him sprinting down the sidelines and cheering you out along the way. I can remember I went to the preseason game against the Seahawks and you guys. And I understand that was the first game your dad got to see you as a professional. For you, what's that like when you saw him for the first time? What'd you tell him?
It was dope, man. I just, you know, just told him, you know, I'm glad and I'm happy that you're able to, you know, to see me play now. You know, he's been asking for a ball since. You know, it's just kind of hard. You know, you got 40 seconds. You got to look for him and throw it on. So it's kind of tough. I just did that. I just give it to you after the game. but he's been begging me. He's been begging me for the ball, man. But, you know, he just wants to let everyone know that he's, you know, that he's here now. You know, I think that's the reason. You know, I throw him the ball, the camera going to be on. You know, he wants his little camera time. I feel like he missed a lot. It's his time to shine now, I feel him. But, you know, I think he just wants to let everyone know I'm here for my son now.
I talked to one of your college coaches. He talked about your mom. Just how it raves about how amazing she is. She said a quote that people may not realize this, but once his dad gets home, he's going to be a different player. He's going to be different because he wants to live up to his dad's expectation. And whatever's inside of him, he's going to unleash it. And I can't help but think that when you were running at midnight, at 1, at 2 in the morning, when you're sending text messages to your friends, is that part of what has been unleashed? And is that an accurate quote from Mom?
Most definitely. And you know my mom. She, yeah. She's like a coach, mom. GM, she's the owner.
She's running fantasy, right?
You know, she got it all, man. But you know, she definitely, you know, she right. You know, when I go out there though, I try to you know, I play with for the name on my back, you know, obviously, and that's my pops' last name that they gave me, and, you know, I just play for him, I play for my family, you know, for all my people back home. It's just, it's so crazy, but I run for all of them, and, you know, I remember, you know, getting a little video of my cousins, my little cousins cheering for me and stuff, and, you know, you obviously really don't notice it because I'm way out here in California, but, you know, just all the Gordons back home, just my whole family, just so happy. So, you know, I'm not only running for my dad, running strong for my dad, but just for my whole family back home as well.
Love that. Yeah. Oh, for LA now too, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to open up to the crowd in a second. My last question for you, Melvin, and this has been incredible. I think all my time being around athletes, yes, you're known for your skill set. I think football is really interesting because we never really see people's faces because you got these helmets on and these pads on. Right? But you get to know them and they have these goals and these dreams. And I'm curious for you, and maybe this is in football, maybe it's not, but what in life are you seeking?
Just happiness. You know, I just want, you know, at the end of the day, I want a nice house, nice car. But I want, you know, a family. You know, I want a family to just be able to sit back, chill, and just watch my, you know, my kids grow. And, you know, that's kind of really all I want, you know, and just, you know, be able to be there for my, you know, my kids, like my parents is there for me. So that's kind of really what I want at the end of the day, man. Kick my feet up, relax, no worries, and just, you know, watch my kids grow with my wife.
And there it is, Melvin Gordon. Really appreciate that conversation. Of course, thanks to Thuzio for allowing us to share that conversation. And Melvin, to me, is really an impressive young man. We had a chance to hang out beforehand, and just a great humility about him. And for being an athlete who's been on some big stages, he definitely hasn't forgotten about the name on the back of his jersey, that's for sure. And how impressive was it when asked what he's truly seeking, for him to be, you know, he didn't see the questions prior to this interview, and for him to say, bam, it's happiness. To me, that's a really unique takeaway from an absolute star. But keep it locked on, Melvin. He's a really impressive guy. You can find out all of his information. He's got a great blog. All of his social media channels are impressive. You just simply go to melvingordon.com. That's his website. And, of course, for all things Life Without Limits, go to yogiroth.com. We got some really fun conversations upcoming here as we continue on with Season 3. And you know how we do this thing. We always end it the same way. The only limits that we have in life are the ones we set ourselves. Thanks for listening. Peace.